Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so I begin a new series on the book of Genesis, and I open with these first two chapters. Now, what I'm going to say in this short discourse will, for some, I think, prove how simplistic I am, and perhaps this will be the end of the road for some. They dismiss me. For what am I going to say on these two chapters? I'm going to say that I believe them, and I accept them. In other words, I believe in 6 days creation. I can't explain it. I don't even attempt to explain it. I don't want to explain it. It's impossible to explain. All these great mysteries of life and death are beyond human understanding and explanation. And I offer none. The Bible offers none. The existence of God, the existence of man, the relation between the two. I find all that in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And I am here as a preacher, and I assert these things. I assert the doctrine of God, the person of God, the existence of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. And I assert the being of man under God, accountable to God, owing everything to God, responsible to God. That is what I find in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. As I say, I'm not here offering myself as an explainer of all these mysteries and wonders. Indeed, let me go further. This will probably upset some people. I am not myself greatly enamored by evangelism, by creation teaching. What do I mean by that? I don't see that's the way in Scripture. Of course, some may say, well, we're living in different times, and creation is so challenged, and so we have creation evangelism. Or is it so often watered down now, intelligent design evangelism? Evangelism by preaching intelligent design. I'm not greatly in favor of the former, the creation evangelism, and I'm even less in favor of the latter, intelligent design. God is the great creator. God created. That's what my Bible says. In the beginning, God. And God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible asserts this doctrine. It asserts the existence of God, the doctrine of God. God is creator, and man is subservient to, and owes everything to, God. That's what Genesis 1 and 2 speaks of to me. And God said, let it be, and so on, and it was so. This is the God I preach. Another thing about creation meetings, evangelism by creation. I often come away, well, I think I've always come away, feeling cold and distant. The one thing it's never done for me, as far as I can recall, is ever made me wonder at the creation. I'm lost in a labyrinth of arguments about the size of Noah's Ark or whatever it might be. But the sense of sheer wonder, love and praise at the work of creation, and above all, the Creator himself, and be moved to worship, seems to be absent for me. It leaves me cold. And yet when I'm out walking and I see a buzzard quartering the heavens, or when I see a marsh harrier, when I've seen a marsh harrier in the past, quartering the marshes, when I see these things, I find my heart more moved. Not often enough, I confess, to cry out, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, all creation around is showing his handiwork. And so I assert the doctrine of God here, and the doctrine of man. So God created man. Man created in God's image. Created male and female. Created rational, reasonable, owing everything to God. Under God. God commanding him. Do this and do the other work and so on, and laying out for him the condition that he should not eat of that particular tree, the knowledge of good and evil. All that's what I find here in the first two chapters of Genesis, and I assert the doctrine of God and the doctrine of man here. Unbeliever, listening to me, you better get used to this. The quicker you get used to this and respond to this, and react to this in the right way, the better for you. Oh, I know that many of you believe with Henley that you're the master of your fate, you're the captain of your soul. You're in charge, but you're not. You were created by God. You're sustained by God. And he will call you to account at the last, according to his will. You are not the master. God is master. Your fate, inverted commas, is in the hand of God. And the quicker you respond and react to that and bow the knee to him and worship him and do not do, as Romans 1 tells us, Paul tells us, the natural man suppresses the knowledge of God. And I know you do. You push it from you. You grab hold of evolutionary teaching. Anything to get rid of God, his person, his being, his wisdom, his power, his authority over you. Anything to make you exalted. Today we live in a time when Genesis 1 and 2 have been reversed. Man is the master. And God, if he exists, just comes into the equation at our whim. It is not so. Romans 1 again. Do not suppress the knowledge of God, because the wrath of God falls upon men that do that. And all men by nature do it. Therefore the wrath of God is upon all men. And he gives men over if they go into that way. And sin comes in. And corruption. Well, it is sin to suppress the knowledge of God, but further sins come in. And further condemnation comes. The only hope, as Paul goes on to explain, is in the mercy of God. In the love of God. After all, Genesis 1 and 2 are just the first two chapters of the Bible. As we read on through the Bible, what do we see? That God shows himself not only to be a God of power, wisdom, greatness and glory, sovereignty, but he's also a God of love and mercy, kindness. For man fell, as we shall see in Genesis 3, and sin came into the world, but God sent his Son into the world. What for? Because he loved the world, and therefore he sent his Son to die for sinners. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But Genesis 1 and 2? The revelation of God and man. God, the great one, the sovereign one, the glorious one, the master, the ruler, the Lord. Man? The dignity of man, yes, as created. The glory of man, yes. The goodness of God in giving male and female, and all the other blessings here. But we see that man is revealed as subservient to and under God. So I say again, unbelieving friend, the sooner you come to terms with these things and bow the knee to God in Christ, the better for you, eternally so. For unless you do, you will perish. Believer, I know we must answer questions, and I know there are sincere questions for people who ask these questions. They want these answers, and they need them, and there is a place for that. But let's get off our, as it were, our knees in this point, and cringing, and trying to apologize, and explain. Let us be more assertive with the gospel, and declare the glory of God. And that's what I see in Genesis 1 and 2. God and man revealed.